Let's read together Daniel chapter 4. In this chapter, we have first the humbling and then the restoration of proud Nebuchadnezzar. Let's start with the first 18 verses of this chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. But they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came in before me, and I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Let's begin our study of Daniel chapter 4 with some background notes. The first thing that we notice about this chapter is that most of it is written in the first person by Nebuchadnezzar himself. So it looks like Daniel, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, incorporated into his book a copy of Nebuchadnezzar's public decree or some kind of official state paper that Nebuchadnezzar gave after his humbling experience. Now, in reference to the dream of the tree which was cut down, Nebuchadnezzar had probably witnessed the felling of many big trees in his military travels and conquests. Let me ask you, did you ever dream about things that you've seen or experienced in life, but in your dreams they take new twists and turns? Well, that's what's going on here, except in this case, God is controlling the dream and giving it a prophetic meaning as to what is about to happen in Nebuchadnezzar's life. And that brings us now to our doctrinal teaching points for Daniel chapter 4. So doctrinal point number one, God can and will humble the proud. God can and will humble the proud. Verses 19 through 33. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. The interpretation of the dream takes the form of first the good news, then the bad news, and then the good news. First, there was the good news that Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, like a beautiful and fruitful tree, giving food and shade to all. Then there was the bad news that Nebuchadnezzar would be cut down and humbled as the great tree was cut down. And then comes good news once again. As the stump of the tree remained with a protective band of iron and bronze, so Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom would be restored. All of this took place, of course, as we read in verse 28. Unfortunately, Nebuchadnezzar did not take Daniel's advice of verse 27 to humble himself and turn away from his sins and show mercy to the poor. And so 1 year later, Nebuchadnezzar in his pride was strolling about the royal palace, maybe even looking over his magnificent hanging gardens of Babylon, and saying to himself, verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" We read in verse 31 that while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you." Now, the particular medical condition that came upon Nebuchadnezzar is known as boanthropy, where the person imagines himself to be an animal and therefore acts as an animal. Now, the 7 periods of time predicted for Nebuchadnezzar's illness were probably 7 years. We know from secular history that there was a 7-year period of time in Nebuchadnezzar's reign from 582 BC down to 575 BC, where there is no record of Nebuchadnezzar being involved in any military activity. These were probably the 7 years or 7 times of Daniel chapter 4. Certainly, we have a prophetic implication here of the 7-year tribulation period of the future in which man's pride and power will be cut down, as we read in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 16. God can and will humble the proud. This doctrinal point is a moral principle that operates on the personal level for believers as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Let me ask you, is it possible that you right now, like Nebuchadnezzar, are walking about in pride because of all you've accomplished in your area of specialty, where obviously you are better than most? Be warned. God can and will humble the proud. Doctrinal point number 2. God can and will restore the humble. God can and will restore the humble. Verses 34 through 37. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to put down. As the dream predicted, Nebuchadnezzar's sanity was restored to him, and he continued as king of the Babylonian Empire. Verse 36. But more than that, as verse 37 implies, Nebuchadnezzar was brought to what we believe was a saving knowledge of God because he praised and worshiped the Lord. What a great story. The prophetic implication of Nebuchadnezzar's restoration is that after the ungodly nations are cut down in the tribulation period, many Gentiles will be saved and form the restored godly nations of the Lord's earthly kingdom. God can and will restore the humble. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, which was written to believers, we see that this doctrinal point is a moral principle that should encourage us to be humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5, 6. God can and will restore the humble. Do you want to be exalted in a godly way? Then humble yourselves, because God can and will restore the humble. Now, what about practical application for Daniel chapter 4? Have you moved from acknowledgement to acceptance? Have you moved from acknowledgement to acceptance? Here in chapter 4 of Daniel, we see that Nebuchadnezzar moved from acknowledging the Most High God of the Hebrews to accepting the one true God of the Hebrews. Before Nebuchadnezzar's humbling experience here in chapter 4, he certainly acknowledged that the God of Daniel, who could interpret dreams, and the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who could preserve their lives in the fiery furnace, was a powerful God and a Most High God and a God that was supreme over all other gods. But Nebuchadnezzar still had not accepted the one true God of the Hebrews as his own God. But now we see at the end of chapter 4, after his humbling experience, Nebuchadnezzar accepts the one true God of Daniel and the Hebrews as his own personal God, and he worships him. Nebuchadnezzar moved from mere acknowledgement to full acceptance. Now, what about you who are listening to this message? Just to acknowledge God does not mean you're saved. You must accept God by personally receiving Jesus Christ as your only Savior from the penalty of your sins. Have you moved from acknowledgement to acceptance?